Okay. Item number 102.
Accept the quarterly technology oversight committee reports from the chief administrative officer.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Jen Clodius with the Office of Management and Finance, and we are here to present information from the Technology Oversight Committee for the quarterly reports. TOC's last appearance before you was at the very beginning of September, kind of midway between the two reporting periods. So we're bringing you two reports today for the fall and the winter quarters. However, we're going to report only on the most recent report, which spans from October through December 2014. As you know, TOC is made up of five community members, each appointed by a city council member. Currently, there is one vacancy, and we are actively working with Commissioner Fritz's office to find a replacement. Today, Ken Neubauer, TOC member and the Director of Platform Engineering with Standard Insurance, joins Chief Technology Officer Ben Berry in providing you with updates on the project under TOC oversight. The other members are Wilfred Pinfold, Joshua Mitchell, and Colleen Gadboy. We're going to project dashboards where applicable. Each dashboard contains information from the project management staff, from quality assurance, and the TOC. And with that, I will turn it to Ken.
Thank you. Pardon me while I get slightly organized here, or reorganized. October, December. I'm not sure I've got the right month though here.
Exhibit B.
Yeah, Exhibit B. There it is. Sorry about that. It's marked incorrectly. Great. Good shape. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Good morning, City Council, Mr. Mayor. My name is Ken Neubauer. Thank you for your time today as I present the TOC's quarterly report. During this reporting period, the TOC has six projects to review. They are the Information Technology Advancement Project, ITAP, the Affordable Housing Software Project, HDS, Office 365, City Risk Information Solution Connection, RISC, Procurement Solicitation System, and the Lean Accounting System Rewrite. Following my report on each project, Chief Technology Officer Ben Berry may provide any updates he feels is necessary. The first project, ITAP. This project develops a paperless permit and case management process and allows complete online access to permitting and case review services. Project deliverables include digitization and online access of historical permits and property information, implementation of an updated permit and case review information management system, online access, case and permit application and review services, mobile online access for field staff, and implementation of an automated queuing system. The TOC has concerns around the project schedule and additional unplanned scope. Some accomplishments this quarter. Several deliverables were partially completed. This is likely due to the project management, to the ITAP project manager delivering deficiency reports to the contractor, which has led to the completion rate and quality improving. Regarding schedule, the TOC lacks confidence that the project will meet schedule. Although work is being accomplished, it's at least 5 months behind. Regarding budget, the TOC is concerned about login integration, which is additional unplanned scope. If that work can be quantified, the TOC will consider returning budget to yellow. Regarding scope, the TOC is concerned that logging in through the PortlandOregon.gov portal is unplanned scope. If the work can be quantified, the TOC will consider returning the scope to yellow status.
Good morning, City Council. I'm Ben Berry. I'm the Chief Technology Officer for the City of Portland. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, I just want to give you a verbal overview of where I see the last TOC meeting for the ITAP project. As Ken Neubauer mentioned, it's red in schedule, red in budget, and now red in scope in the eyes of the TOC. From the quality assurance assessment, it was red in schedule, yellow in budget, and yellow in scope. Now, I think the biggest stumbling point that we're seeing with the ITAP project is the ability to deliver a schedule that is salient and that can be depended upon. Without it being changed. And of course, schedule has both plan to actuals. And so it's in the meeting of the actuals in terms of milestones is where I believe the issues have been with delivering this project beyond anything in red and schedule. So that's where the project management team and the director have been involved in conversations with the vendor, Sierra Systems. And to date, I think they've changed out a number of staff. But as you will recall, last time I was here, I reported, I asked the project, well, how many months behind schedule is it? At that time, it was 5 months. I asked the same question now, and I don't have an answer from the project. The only thing I do have is when I look at the chart that shows the status, the current expected completion date is winter 2015 through 2016. Now, typically, that's so wide you could drive a truck through that. It's just too wide, and that's why we need a schedule that is dependable and trackable. On the budget, because of it being on a schedule that we can't depend on yet, there's implications to how much money the vendor spends and how much the city spends, and that's why that's in red. We believe the scope has never been changed from a customer standpoint, from a bureau standpoint, but because the vendor looks at the scope and then kind of interprets what the scope is into the complexities, which drives the schedule again, that's why the scope is in jeopardy, and you could see change orders. Haven't seen change orders to date, but change orders from either the city side or from the vendor side could, in fact, impact the schedule and the budget.
Thank you, Ben. The next project is the Affordable Housing Software Project. Portland Housing Bureau has contracted with Housing Development Software, HDS, to implement a solution that will provide a single data repository for the city's affordable housing programs. This effort replaces disparate systems with a modern and effective single core system, providing data entry efficiencies, reducing overall cost, and improving access to data and reporting tools. The city, for status, the city and HDS have reached an agreement, may have reached an agreement, on a path to move forward and completion integration. Portland Housing Bureau will pay outstanding professional services, and HDS will deliver a major release to resolve the outstanding defects in the system and loan servicing module. One of the upcoming milestones, upon receiving the next release, Portland Housing Bureau will commit to accepting or reporting critical issues by no later than January 9th, or 15 days from the receipt of the major release, whichever is later. HDS will also commit to follow up on any defects or major issues that are identified within 48 hours with an analysis of the defect and the anticipated plan date for resolution of the defect. Some risk or concerns from the TOC. The TOC stopped providing a colored dashboard rating for this project in April due to going live. We have, however, provided a current status dashboard below. The delays on final acceptance are a concern, and the TOC recommends that the project continue to check in with the TOC until the final acceptance and payment issues have been resolved.
City Council, just as an additional set of information on this project, we actually feel pretty good about the housing data system project now. TOC scored it on the 19th of January, yellow in schedule, green in budget, and green in scope. It's the first time we've seen a measurable change in the reporting of the project. You'll recall the last time we spoke about this, there were 21 issues that had to be resolved. They're now down to the three minor issues, and they believe they're on the right track. They've also had the city attorney, as well as the vendor's attorney, in discussions on payment, and they have now negotiated the payment schedules to both groups' satisfaction. So we are looking very happy on this one. We think we will hopefully close this out the next time we report this.
Thank you, Ben. The next project is the Office 365 project. This project is responsible for migrating all city computers to Microsoft Office 365. The city currently uses Microsoft Office 23, which Microsoft will no longer support after April 2014. Migrating to the cloud-based Office 365 will save approximately $1.2 million over 5 years, provide more disaster recovery options, and a larger email storage. The status on this is this project is complete, and the TOC has chosen not to track phase two. Ben?
Asked for more information about the Microsoft Office 365. Very successful project. We're actually able to return some of the dollars, just over $400,000, to the next phase of the project. And we came in roughly about a month of the scheduled due date. And then we also had a 90-day report from Quality Assurance. And I might say it's one of the best 90-day post-implementation review reports I've seen in terms of its framework and the way they report it out for case associates.
Thank you, Ben. The next project is a City Risk Information Solution Connection, also known as RISC. The existing risk management data system is out of compliance with the city's technology standards and is becoming increasingly difficult to support and maintain. This project replaces several existing independent systems with one integrated system that will support key business activities, increasing effectiveness through integrated data management, increase effectiveness, efficiencies, and automation, and implement best practices. This project was originally assessed in the winter of 2012 and not requiring TOC oversight. But due to increased risk and delays, the project joined the TOC portfolio in June of 2013. The current status on this is the TOC has received the 90-day post-implementation report. All payments have been made and contracts have been closed. Final comments from the TOC on this. Regarding schedule, the project took 19 months instead of the estimated 10. Schedule improved after the appointment of a new project manager. Delays between this contractor and its subcontractor meant that the final component was delayed to September 5th of 2014. Regarding scope, remained stable throughout the project. No scope-related change orders were required. Regarding budget, project came in on budget in spite of lasting 9 months longer than scheduled. Delays were vendor-caused, and contracted resources were hired on an as-needed basis and released when delays occurred. Regarding product performance, generally positive. New system has increased efficiencies, reduced paper flow, improved time to accomplish tasks, and has eliminated 10 shadow systems used to support the older system.
We're very excited to see the finality of the project and its conclusion, and I have no further comments on that one.
Thank you, Ben. Next project is a procurement solicitation system. Procurement services is outgrowing their current solicitation system, which doesn't offer a cost-effective solution or the functionality required by the city. Procurement is planning to replace an integrated three systems into one and add functionality that will allow electronic request for proposal submissions. Currently, the TOC has no additional comments on this project.
This particular project is a new project for us. The QA has been on board for about 3 weeks now, so it is still relatively early in the process, and it's all in green at this point.
Even though your confidence level on the budget is low, tell us about that.
Well, under the current revision, I do show the expected completion confidence level at medium.
Okay. It just said
as of the 19th of January.
Okay.
So this is more recent information for you. And I also show as of 19th of January budget confidence is medium and the scope stability is medium.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. The next and last project is a lean accounting system rewrite. A lean accounting system is used to record and manage assessments and liens for the city as required by city charter and Oregon state law. The application is written in an old programming language and is one of two remaining applications on the mainframe, which is scheduled to be decommissioned July 1st, 2015. Because of the tight time frame and resource constraints, the decision was made to rewrite the existing system using a more modern programming language and transfer it to a Microsoft Windows environment. As of this reporting cycle, the project is meeting expectations. However, the TOC has concerns with the disconnect of the QA and the project team regarding the lack of project plan and using the agile project management methodology.
And Mr. Kim Neubauer just
wrote. Elaborate, what does that mean, agile methodology?
In project management, there's two basic methodologies. There's the waterfall, which is, I would say, a legacy methodology, but used by most projects. And agile is a more time constraint. You have quicker deliverables. It's intended to have quick turnaround, but it's just a completely different methodology than most companies and people are used to using.
Just as a follow-on for the lean accounting system, The most recent January 19th finding from the TLC was red in schedule, yellow in budget, and green in scope. Although the quality assurance vendor has a yellow in schedule, yellow in budget, and green in scope. I think the disconnect between the yellow and the red there, we just have seen the much detailed project schedule for Lean that's been in the work for some time, and I believe it's been signed off at this point by the sponsor. The QA wants to make sure that we can check the results of the schedule before they move the needle back into yellow. And so it's just a little bit early to bless it at this point, but we now know that the QA and the sponsor in the audit department is actually working together. That's actually been a very good situation from what we were looking at before. As you'll know, the city's mainframe has two users. We have the police bureau's Portland Police Bureau data system. It's earmarked to come off that mainframe in April 14th of this year. And then the only other customer on that mainframe will be the accounting, will be the audit office with the Lean accounting system. Failure to come off that system means the last customer standing on that platform will have to pay the full freight on the mainframe. And that's about $700,000 a year. So this particular executive advisory group for the Lean accounting system has added resources. They've actually added up about $164,000 from the auditor's department to bring in more resources for programming. And the discussions that are having between the development team and the QA have been going a lot better now. So I mean, I am encouraged that they'll make their deadline.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the report. Well, obviously, the project here that's got the most question marks and also the biggest price tag is the ITAP project. We knew that when BDS took this on, it was a major undertaking. We knew that Mr. Scarlett was volunteering for risk. So we thank you for that. But any more comments or particular issues you want to raise about that just because of the scale of the thing and the level of certainty or uncertainty at this point?
Mr. Mayor, I would be more than happy to have Director Scarlett come up and say a few words. He's here in the audience today.
Might be helpful, Paul, if you would, to give us a little bit of a management view of that issue from the Bureau.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Morning. Paul Scarlett, Director for Bureau Development Services. I'm with Rebecca Sponzel, Project Manager. And I appreciate the report from the TLC and Ben Berry's. And we do share concerns about the schedule. Certainly the schedule could impact the scope and the budget. However, I have to tell you and first share that Commissioner Fritz and I, this is one of our highest priorities to make sure this is being managed correctly and that we do maintain and achieve the goals of the ITAP project, which is to improve the access for our customers and our employees. And to that end, I am pretty inserted in the process, meet weekly, whether in person or telephone conference with the Sierra executives along with Rebecca, and we are focused on, of course, all of the deliverables and the concerns around the schedules. I can share with you just this morning, one of the things I pressed and have been pressing is the schedule, which, of course, is of concern, and did get commitment to have a revised schedule by next week for our view. And so that will be a big relief, if you will, or progress. Certainly, a number of the other aspects which our quality assurance consultant continues to monitor is also showing some progress. And as Ben shared with you, the schedule is red, and the report, which is more for the last 3 months, if you will, and we're looking as forward also, and some of those areas have improved the the color grading, if you will, has changed from red to yellow, for example, in the scope. So that's something we're feeling better about. We are pleased to share that we have put more resources to the ITAP project from BDS's team. This team has about doubled over the last year or so. We've got about 9 BDS employees, along with, of course, Sarah team members and other BDS staff that are considered subject matter experts. So overall, yes, we shared a concern about the schedule, but we're laser-focused on knowing that this is a technology, one that's outdated and that's needed. And so we're committed and feel confident that at this point that it will work. We've seen some delivered, some completed folders, if you will, that actually does work. So that's sometimes a concern, will this work, which is, of course, what we want to be assured of. And so, yes, it's delayed, but we do know that we feel the vendor can do the work, and it's a matter of adjusting or getting on top of the schedule. And of course, the budget and those pieces will come into play and be hopefully addressed holistically as well. I can have Rebecca share a few words, being that she's on the project daily. Thanks.
So can you tell us what is the new, based on your conversation with Sierra Systems yesterday, what is the new timeline for completion?
It was just this morning. And so the commitment from Sarah is to have a revised schedule delivered to me by next week. We meet Wednesday mornings, whether in person or by telephone. And so I should be able to look at that schedule by next week and have a better sense of what that revised date looks like. We are moving, I know Ben shared winter of 2015-16. We're saying winter 2016. 2015 realistically is in December. And the way things are looking, that might be a hard date to deliver to, but we are feeling the winter gives, of course, there's more flexibility there. And part of, to better answer that question, we'll be reliant on what's provided to us next week.
Other comments you want to add?
Yeah. Well, I have plenty of things. We do have some success on the project, as Paul mentioned. The foundational blocks that we've had to build with regard to the platform complexity and integration, and with regard to the integrated nature of the City of Portland's permitting practices, presented some problems for our vendor and all their partners. And we believe that we have made significant headway in that way. We have achieved integration between Project Docs and the Infor permitting system, which allows us to use that to go forward with all the future integrations. We've tested successfully 18 separate configurations. They do work in their unit structure. And there are teams working behind the scenes to integrate those into the data and the other interfaces that connect. So we have made foundational improvement as well as integrational improvement. We are not exactly where we wanted to be. That being said, with the foundation blocks in place and some process improvement on the part of the vendor, plus additional resources on both sides, we believe that we will have a more confident view of what this end date looks like. It could still be winter 2016.
Part of the challenge is that the contract, although it specified deliverables, it didn't specify deadlines for those deliverables. And so learning from that experience, we want to make sure that the next timeline is realistic. We also, of course, don't want to ease up on the pressure to get the job done. So that's also part of the negotiation, is tell us what's realistic, vendor, and make sure then that we continue to follow through to get those deliverables done. Certainly from BDS's side, I'm confident that we've got the right staff and that we've got sufficient staff dedicated to doing our pieces of it. Rebecca's instituted some new reporting mechanisms on a weekly basis to let the vendor know what we're expecting and to tell them how they did the week before in our evaluation. So it's a lot of project management.
Well, to that last point, I'll try to put this a little bit delicately, but not so delicately that the point will get lost. we are commissioners in charge of bureaus, but we're also a board of directors. One of the reasons why we have this technology oversight exercise here at the council is that no matter which the color of money is being spent, whether it's utility money or general fund money, or in this case, the fund that's paid for by building permits, it's still public money. And so we do this ecumenical effort of looking at all the technology projects and with the help of these volunteer advisors, make sure that each of those is being carefully watched and managed. In this particular case, BDS is the lead bureau, but our permit process, of course, spans almost every bureau that that's represented by the five of us. So I wouldn't expect Commissioner Fritz to be shy on this subject, but want to encourage you and Paul as well. If you need specific performance from any of our bureaus that are linked into this permit clearinghouse, which is what this system is going to create, obviously don't be shy. Ask us for additional staff support or additional or the ability to meet the schedule. If you know we're having trouble meeting the schedule because of one of my bureaus, I certainly want to hear about it. So this is a big deal. It's now over $10 million. It's really important. It's going to be a great service for our customers. But obviously, as you said, Paul, it's got to work. So call on us, please. And again, that's a little bit redundant because I know you would, but I just want to put that out there and obviously put all the bureaus on notice as well. This is a big deal for us corporately. And everybody should be helping make it succeed.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that. In my first term, we had a big discussion about consolidation versus co-location for the permit services, and we went with co-location. As Rebecca mentioned, we do it differently from other jurisdictions. So it's not like you can buy a laptop, plug it in, and expect it to work the same way that you want it to work, that it needs to work. And so it is multi-bureau. And I very much appreciate your acknowledgments of that.
And well, let us know when you need help to make all those things go green.
Let's take you up on your offer right away.
So yeah, I just had one last question, and that is the Oversight Committee raised concerns about logging in through the PortlandOregon.gov portal as a change in scope.
Not a change in scope. The issue before us was how we were going to authenticate. And we had several choices. The original plan called for Active Directory, and now we're going in the direction of Portland Online. We've made that decision, and there is a task team working that puzzle, and there are vendor items to now work on and complete, and then we'll do some testing on it. So we've made the decision. It has not been fully resolved, but it is in process. And I do want to point out that we are working on phase two, which is the requirements gathering, and phase three, which is the configuration. That is the bulk of the work. And those take a long time. So we are in the middle of that process. This is also where issues are discovered and resolved. And we are actively engaging on all those fronts. So this is painful but normal.
And I would also say I would agree. We talked about that issue. I think it's been resolved in the way we work through it.
Ben, can I do a follow-up on that?
Yes.
I have a more than passing interest in this question of how you access the Portland Online portal. And today the Water Bureau's announcing a quantum leap forward in monthly billing because we've been able to crack the nut and allow people to get that service if they if they don't want to do e-bills but want to get a paper bill. So we kind of figured that out. But I think almost everyone up here now does monthly billing, and it's not the easiest system to access. Or maybe I'm making a comment about my technological competence. But is there some thought, short-term, medium-term, to making the system more accessible?
For Portland Online, in particular, for monthly billing for water bills?
Well, we have lots of – you can go on to pay the arts tax. You can go on to pay your leaf fee. You can go on to pay your water bill. But for anyone accessing, I find it a little challenging. Sometimes you have to put in two sets of codes, and that creates some challenges. So any thoughts about that?
So this, Commissioner Fish, this is a question about usability of the system. I don't know of any usability initiatives going on with Portland Online right now, but I can take that question back to our development team and get some information back to the committee.
Yeah, what I'd be interested in is what options do we have with our current configuration? Are there shortcuts or other kinds of things? And, of course, doing so in the context of ensuring safety.
Okay.
And obviously, we have to make sure that people who access are protected.
Thank you. I will take that from the minutes, and we'll get that to the team so I can get back to you.
Thank you.
I had one last thing I'd like to offer from the TOC. ITAP was one of the first projects that came to the TOC in the fall of 2011. And actually, at that point, they were still in their analysis phase trying to go out and figure out what programs to bring in. And when they were doing that, we actually had a TOC member go and work with some Bureau members. And when they came back, the report to us was, this is a really complicated project. And when we looked at the dates, the TOC really felt they were incredibly aggressive dates. Not sure who selected the dates, but they were very, very aggressive. And we're not at all surprised to see some of these delays that have happened. I think with projects that have this magnitude of scope and complexity, especially when you have homegrown systems that the city has, I think this is to be expected.
Good point.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
Yeah. Other questions for our team here? Thank you all very much. Appreciate your work. Do we have anyone signed up to speak on this item?
I did not have a sign-up sheet, but Mr. Lightning has requested
anyone
to speak.
Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog. The only concern I have on this is you've stated it's very complex. There's going to be some delays, and I understand that. But my main concern on this is pertaining to the affordable housing software. One of the things I have done some speeches on in the past is to make sure that these loans are serviced properly. And I want to have a clear understanding on this loan servicing module, which you state here is the most important module, which I do agree, is operating properly, the loans are being serviced properly, and we're not going to have at the end of the year the auditor come in and say we are not able to service our loans in a reasonable manner due to software problems. And I don't want to hear that again this year. I want to make sure that these systems are in place. If they're not working right, make sure that the loans are being serviced properly. And that's my main concern on this whole issue pertaining to the affordable housing software. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good point. Morning.
Morning, Council and Mayor. I'm Stephen Entwistle, 55-year resident of Portland. We talked about a little bit about affordable housing. Well, I live in affordable housing, and my question is if you're going to put people in affordable housing, then it would be a good idea to have some kind of a noise control ordinance around the affordable housing, because right now we don't. And I had a friend die because he was on a medication and wasn't getting sleep. His name was Don Eastep. Okay, nothing has been done. His death has been years. Okay, and let me tell you what happens. Okay, this morning, okay, there was a whole group of people. There was a little convention right underneath my window. Okay, everybody's laughing and yelling and screaming and keeping all our neighbors awake. Okay, I know we all want to hear that, right? Unless it happens to you, you probably don't take it consideration. But anyway, so the only option that a person has when they live in affordable housing, okay, since there is no noise control officer anymore that deals with those issues, that they have to call the police. Okay, a lot of people are a little apprehensive about calling the police, especially these days, okay, especially on a noise issue. Okay, and the police don't take noise issues as the very lowest priority of all. But this is about public health, okay? This isn't just about some little annoyance. This is something that happens 7 days a week. This is not just on the weekends. This happened this morning. Now, that being said, do you know what happens when you call the non-emergency police number? Do you know what happens? Okay, let me show you what happens. I had to call the non-emergency police message. Now, what I asked the dispatcher is, is do you want me to call you guys before or after I go down and confront the folks? And they go, no, don't confront them. Don't confront them. We'll take care of it. I go, okay, fine. So I call the non-emergency number reluctantly. I don't like to call the police for anything unless it's absolutely necessary. Now, what happens is this. This is the answer. Okay. Let me get this down. Okay. But you got to hear this. I'm not going to be very much longer. This is just going to be a few more seconds. But this is what happens when you call the non-emergency number and you get a police response. Now, what time did I call? I called at 3:18 this morning. Okay, here it is.
Well, are you getting through?
Hi, it's the police calling you back. I went down to the location. There's one or two people outside smoking, not being loud. Unfortunately, the police cannot tell people to be quiet if they're just talking on the sidewalk. Our noise ordinance is for amplified music, which that is not people talking on the sidewalk, unfortunately. All right. Good luck. Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate you bringing that now to our attention.
Sure. I called at 3:18, okay? He didn't get back to me until after 3:40. That was 30 minutes, okay? Now, a lot happens in 30 minutes, okay? These guys know what they're doing. They're doing this on purpose to bother us, to keep us up at night, because it happens every single night. We've made complaints to the management. We've made complaints to the neighbors. We've made complaints all around. But you know what? It's nothing, okay? And if I go down there and confront them, guess what? I get 40 shots in me from the cops, okay? They will kill me and let me bleed to death in the street over a noise issue.
We appreciate you bringing this to our attention, but we've got to get on with our agenda.
Are we going to do anything about this or not?
Well, I will talk to the police bureau about that report, so thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay.
I move to accept the report.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Roll call on accepting the report.
Fritz. Very much appreciate the work of the Oversight Committee in partnership with the Bureau of Technology Services and also Commissioner Saltzman for establishing or leading us in establishing the Technology Oversight Committee. I am still looking for a delegate from my office, so if anybody's interested, having seen this presentation, please contact my office. Obviously, the main concern to me in this report is regarding the ITAP project. I very much believe in the team that we have put together at the Bureau of Development Services. Very grateful to Rebecca Sponsel, who's the project manager, and to Paul Scarlett for his in-person oversight of it on a weekly basis. I'm hopeful that our contractor has put together a team that will now meet our needs. Just as a reminder, this project was envisioned by Commissioner Leonard, and I vividly remember him describing the current process in Development Services where applications are on paper and taken around in shopping carts from one desk to another. And we need to get into the 21st century and to have mechanisms so that people can check on their application from remotely so they don't have to drive downtown. We need to make sure that all of our systems work better. Co-location has helped our systems to work better. This will be the next stage. I was interested to hear that the Technology Oversight Committee warned in the first place that the schedule was too ambitious. Obviously, the schedule affects the budget, and then it affects what can be done as well. So my intent with this revision that we'll be doing is to make sure that we do set a realistic schedule that's still ambitious and sets a good target and doesn't let the project drag on for decades, although obviously with any technology project, there are going to be upgrades over the years. So we're going to set a realistic schedule so that we can then stick to it. There are robust reserves within the Bureau of Development Services, thanks to development picking up, which is helpful. There will not be a general fund ask for covering any additional resources that might be needed for this project. And so I appreciate this work, particularly Ben Berry and the team at BTS, and also Jennifer Cooperman, the city treasurer, has also been involved. So speaking to the mayor's point about this being an entire city project, that's absolutely the case. And so I'm happy to be leading it and grateful that we have these frequent updates so that we can let the public know. It's not going to be a surprise if we have to extend the schedule. Aye.
Fish?
Well, thank you for the report. I want to begin by thanking Ken, who is my designee, for his continued service. It seems like we have a lot of people from Standard Insurance playing critical roles, Mayor, in helping us run this city. So I'm guessing that if everyone at the Standard who serves on a committee is here at the same time, who actually does the work over there? But we appreciate their public service, appreciate the report, and I appreciate Commissioner Fritz reminding us that there were two reforms in the past that were really important. One was the decision on co-location, which was controversial, but I think has proven itself over time. And the second was this technology oversight process that Commissioner Saltzman led, and I think it's proven itself, its value, and so much so that I think it's really the model for how we should approach contract oversight, which I think is the next piece of work for this council. And I really appreciate the good work of the committee, and as always, Ben, you and your team for your work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank the Oversight Committee for their continued good work, and Ben Berry and his shop for working with the Oversight Committee. I think the Oversight Committee, I think as the mayor just said a minute ago, is accomplishing exactly what we intended, and that is to make sure that complicated projects and software projects are overseen by all five of us and in terms of monitoring issues, and that's through our appointments to the Oversight Committee. You're doing exactly that, so thank you very much. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you very much to the members of the committee and to the Bureau staff involved in presenting this report. Aye.
Hales.
To paraphrase Senator Proxmire's remark, a million here and a million there, and eventually you got real money. So we appreciate watching not just the millions, but the months and weeks and dollars involved in these really important projects. And thank you, Ben. Thank you, all of you, for the good work. Aye. Okay, item 103.